Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, all of us here this morning, we all have a friend. We all have a relationship with this friend. And for some of us, that friend controls us, because it's very easy to be controlled by money. All of us have a relationship with money, and it's really important for us as Christians, as disciples, or even unbelievers, to have a right relationship with money. And so some of you might be sitting here this morning with the cringe factor, saying, oh no, he's not going to talk about money, is he? Well, yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to talk about money because Jesus talked about money. Jesus talked about money on all different sorts of occasions and to all different sorts of people. He talked to his disciples about money. He talked to those who weren't yet his followers about money. He talked to the rich young man about money and said to the young man, the rich young man who wasn't yet a Christian, he said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. You see, we live in a society where we are ultra sensitive about talking about money. Our money is our business. We don't talk to anybody about our bank account or what's in our bank account. We are ultra sensitive about money. But let me tell you this much about Jesus, your friend, your Savior, your Lord, Jesus. Jesus was not sensitive about money. Jesus spoke to everybody about money. And I'll tell you why. Because every man, woman, and child who would want to follow Jesus has got a choice to make. If you and I truly want to follow Jesus, become a Christian, walk with him, you and I have a choice to make. The words of Jesus this morning in the gospel said very clearly, very plainly, and very bluntly. Jesus was not diplomatic about this, because Jesus knew how important this decision is in a man or a woman's life. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, and I underline that word, he said, you cannot serve God and money. In actual fact, the word is mammon, because he personalizes it. He gives it a personal name. You cannot serve God and the spirit behind money. The spirit behind money is greed. The spirit behind money is poverty, believe it or not. The spirit behind money does not want to make you rich, does not want to prosper you, does not want you to prosper in life in any way, shape, or form. The spirit behind money wants to control you and me so that we become poor. So this choice that we have to make in our lives is a very important one. It said you cannot serve both God and money. It didn't say you should not serve God and money. He did not say you ought not to serve God and money. He said you cannot. In other words, it is impossible to serve both God and serve money, the spirit of money, at the same time. Okay? So for that reason, because this is such a crucial matter in the life of a Christian, I want to confront it head on, as I normally do, straight on this morning, for the sake of all of us. You cannot serve God and money. So you can serve money, but you cannot serve God, or you can serve God, and then you cannot serve money. So what might be the signs in my life? What might be the signs in your life that I'm serving money? So I'm going to give you quickly 7 or 8 signs in your life, my life, anybody's life, that actually money is my God. I might profess to serve God, but actually, am I? So what are the signs that I might be serving money? Well, first of all, I am serving money, and I have a spirit of poverty in my life if my instant reply to a demand on my money is, I haven't got any. I can't afford it. That is the very first sign that I am serving money. Because, you see, a prosperity mindset, which God wants you and I to have, is very different. A prosperity mindset is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. And there it says, He will make you rich enough to be generous at all times. So this is a prosperity mindset. A demand is made on your money, and your immediate thought is, God will always make me rich enough. He will give me enough to be able to be generous at all times, so that many will thank God for the gifts which they have received from us. Amen? So that's the first thing. A prosperity mindset immediately thinks, what does God want in this situation? What is God able to do for me in this particular situation? And it says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, and God is able to give you more than you need. Not just enough, but He is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. So a prosperity mindset says that God is not only able to give me enough for myself, but He wants to give me over and above so that I can contribute to good causes. Now the Israelites, in Joshua chapter 5 verse 11, they went into the promised land. 2.5 million extra mouths to feed in this land of Israel. That's a lot of mouths to feed, isn't it? 2 or 3 people, new people coming into your family puts a strain on your resources. Well, 2.5 million people coming into the land. What did God say? God, the Bible says that God said God is able to sustain. God was able to sustain 2.5 million new people coming into that land. Now, what do we learn from that? We learn that God is able to sustain every ministry that He wants us to run in this church. God is able to sustain everything that He wants us to do in this church. God is not poor. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He gives generously on every occasion. And He wants you and I to give generously according to what we have, not according to what we don't have, but according to what we do have. And He wants us to give the first and the best, not the dribble, not the dregs, not the drains, not what's left over. But He wants us to express the fact that we are seeking first the kingdom of God. So the first indication that you or I might have a poverty mindset, that we might be serving money, is that our instant reply to a demand on our money is, I haven't got any and I can't afford it. The second thing is that a money mindset gives in order to gain. A money mindset gives in order to gain. Now, I believe in sowing seeds. But when we sow seeds, we have always got to be careful about why we're sowing seeds. We must never give in order to receive. You know, giving has got the automatic comeback of receiving, but our motivation for giving is never in order to receive. Amen? So, for example, you turn on the God channel, you turn on TV channels, and one channel after another is saying to you, give me your £10, and it's normally $10 or $100, and they say to you, I guarantee you that you will receive $1,000 back from God. Have you come across those kind of programs on television? They generally tend to turn people in this country off. Yeah, and rightly so, right? Because the motivation behind the giving, yeah, is always that you're going to get a return on your money. I'm not saying it's wrong to sow seeds. I think we have to sow seeds because every good farmer sows seeds if he wants his harvest to come back. But the motivation for us as Christians in sowing seeds is not to get, it's to sow into the kingdom of God. It's to give into the kingdom of God. Amen? So a poverty mindset gives in order to receive. A poverty mindset is always thinking that money is the number one priority. So money in a money mindset is always number one. Money is always the decider. It isn't like seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. But a poverty mindset always thinks about money first. So when money controls me, I'm thinking about money in every situation. A poverty mindset tips rather than tithes. So you give God tips rather than giving him the first and the best. We give God what's left over. That is an indication also of a poverty mindset. A money mindset cannot remember the last time that you were extravagant. When was the last time that you gave extravagantly? Now, this is a tough one. This is a hard one. Have you ever given extravagantly to God? I remember once upon a time, I gave away £5,000. I thought, Mike, what are you doing? Giving away £5,000. That was like, you know, a third of my salary or half my salary for the year. Yeah? But giving extravagantly is an indication that God is in control of your finances, that you are serving God rather than serving money. So when we have a money mindset, we cannot remember ever giving extravagantly. When we have a money mindset, your response to financial tight margins, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're financially challenged and the margins are very tight and it seems like there is more money going out than there is coming in. And your response to this is always fear. You think we're going to go under. We're not going to be able to survive. We're not going to be able to pay our bills. It's fear, and that fear is contagious because that fear spreads to your family. It spreads to the people around you. And it's an indication. It's just one indication that you may have a poverty mindset. So fear is a big thing with money. The next thing I want to share with you is that when you have a money mindset, you renege on your financial commitments or your financial pledges. We make financial pledges. We often do it. Church is asking people at the moment to make financial commitments and financial pledges. But when we have a poverty mindset, the very first thing that often happens in our lives when we are financially challenged is that we renege on our financial pledges. Whereas somebody who has a God mindset trusts that God is going to provide for you. You still sow in because you know that God is going to provide for you. And the final indication that you or I might have a money mindset is that we spend on luxuries with no thought for the house of God. We spend on ourselves. We treat ourselves to luxuries and we never think of providing for the house of God. So there's a challenge for all of us this morning. Jesus says that we cannot serve God and money. And we're serving money if our instant reply is always, I can't afford it, I have no money, it can't be done. Or we give in order to gain, or money is always the first priority in everything that we do, the first thing that we think about. Or we tip God rather than give by faith. We have a money mindset. If we are never extravagant, we never give extravagantly. Or if our response to financial tight margins is always to be afraid and to spread fear to those around us. Or we renege on our financial pledges. Or we spend on luxuries in ourselves without ever thinking about the house of God. So that is a money mindset. On the other hand, when we serve God, the only way we can actually serve God is by grace. The only way that we can have a godly relationship with money, because we have to relate to money, it's always going to be there, we're always going to be needed. We need to treat it as a friend, yeah? Not somebody who owns us, not somebody who controls us, but it's your friend, right? Because it helps you to pay your bills. It keeps the debt collectors from your door. And that's very important. So it's very important to have a right relationship with money so that you keep all these people away from you and you can pay your bills. So how can we have a right relationship with money? Well, first of all, we need grace. We need to be able to give. We need to be able to be generous. The principle of generosity is very important in our life. So we need to be able to relate to money in such a way that we can let go of it, that we can give it away, that we can be generous. But you know, the only way we can do that is by the grace of God in our lives. It's grace for giving. It's the grace of God that sets you and I free from our scruples about money, from our sensitivities about money. It's the grace of God that allows us to give and to be generous. Because our natural instinct and our natural inclination is always to take stuff for myself. My natural inclination is to be greedy with money, is to hold on to money. But God wants to release us by His grace so that we can give. The comeback of that is that we will receive a harvest, but we don't give in order to receive. So the first thing, in order to be able to give, is we need the grace of God. We need grace for giving. And my prayer is that grace will be all over this congregation, that God will move upon your life, that He will enable you to be generous on every occasion, as it says in the Bible this morning. The second principle is not only grace, but the principle of prosperity. I believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants you to be rich enough so that you can give stuff away. That's what the Bible says. God wants you not to be poor. I was brought up in a family where we believed in the poverty gospel, because the great models of the faith I was brought up in were people who took vows of poverty and chastity and obedience, going back for centuries. I was brought up, and the people who were placed on pedestals in our faith environment as I grew up were people who practiced poverty, and therefore it was a virtue to be poor. The poor were the virtuous. You were rich, you were nobody. Okay? The rich were not virtuous in any way. It was the poor who were virtuous. So that's a mindset that I had to overcome. I had to work my way through that to actually come to see what the Bible says. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, it says, I wish above all things. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? I wish above all things that you may prosper. And he's not here talking about any other kind of prosperity except financial prosperity. It's God's will for you to prosper. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Two things there. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be rich enough to be able to give away. And he says, even as your soul prospers. So as your soul prospers by the grace of God, as you receive the wonderful gift of salvation into your life and into my life, as the grace of God liberates us from our sins and from unforgiveness and from greed, then we are liberated by the grace of God to be able to give. Above all things, that you may prosper and be in good health. I say to you this morning, may you prosper. May you be rich. May you be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So we believe not in a poverty mentality. We don't believe that God wants us to be poor. You know, if God wanted us to be poor, why would we set up a food bank in order to feed the poor? Yeah, our attitude would be, well, no, you're fine where you are. It's good to be poor. God blesses you just simply because you're poor. No, we don't believe in that. We believe that God wants people to prosper and He wants them to be in good health. So we believe in the principle of grace. We believe in the principle of prosperity, and prosperity is a mindset. Poverty is a mindset. Prosperity is a mindset that says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Prosperity is a mindset that says my God is able to supply all my needs. Prosperity is a mindset that says God wants me to prosper, that God wants me to be rich. He doesn't want me to be poor and striving all the time. So we believe a godly mindset. A mindset that's focused on serving God is a mindset that's full of grace. It's a prosperity mindset. But it's also, the last thing I want to share with you is about stewardship, being a steward. Being a steward means that you are somebody who is in charge of something. And God has put you in charge of His money. God has put you in charge of His resources and His materials. Because stewardship recognizes that all that I have has been given to me as a gift by God. None of it is my own. My house isn't my own. My car isn't my own. My money isn't my own. Even my time isn't my own. Or my talents aren't my own. They are all a gift from God. God has graced me, God has given them to me, and therefore I am a steward of what God has given them to me. And the parables in the Bible about stewardship are amazingly revealing. Because what do we do with our talents? What do we do with our time? What do we do with our money? Do we hide them in the ground and keep them for when Jesus comes back again? If we do that, Jesus says, away from me, you evildoer. God wants you to take what you have. This is stewardship. God wants you to take what you have and say to God, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? You've got £1,000 in the bank. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? That's stewardship. Stewardship is about recognizing that God is in charge. He's in control of your time, your talent, your money. You've got some time. Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? And now I want to say to you that a grace-filled, prosperous, prosperity-based mindset based on stewardship is a choice. It's a choice. See today, the Bible says, I set before you life and prosperity, death and destitution. It's a choice. You make a choice to be a good steward. You make a choice to receive everything from God as a gift. I make that choice. You make that choice. It takes faith. It takes faith to put God first in your life, to make that choice between God and money. That takes faith. I came across a story recently of an old Indian man where oil was discovered on his property. And all his life he had been poverty stricken. He'd just barely been eking out a living. And the discovery of oil had suddenly propelled him into enormous wealth. He had great wealth. And so the first thing that he did was he bought this massive car. I think in America they call them Cadillacs. He bought a Cadillac. He wanted the longest car in the country. When he got it, he made it even longer. He wanted it to be the longest car in the country. And he would dress up in his new clothes, and every day he would take this fantastic car, and he wanted everybody to see him. He wanted to drive around the town, and as he drove around the town, he was a bit like the Queen. He would turn left, and he would wave at people. Hello there. Are you all okay over there? And then he would turn right, and he'd wave with all the people over there. Yeah? And he went around the town in this magnificent car. But miraculously, he never ran into anything. Even though he was waving at people, he never ran into anything. And the reason for this was that directly in front of that big, beautiful car were two horses harnessed to it and pulling it. Now, there was nothing wrong with the car's engine. It was because the old Indian driver had never learned to drive. He had never learned how to insert the key into the ignition, switch it on, and drive it away. And under the hood was 100-plus horsepower, ready and willing and raring to go. But the old Indian was content to use the 2 horsepower hooked to the front of the car. And you know what? It's like, that's like us sometimes. Inside of us, we have 100 horsepower. And the devil is very happy, really happy, when he can keep every believer chugging along in their Christian faith on a life of 2 horsepower, a life of 2 horsepower level faith. We keep our level of faith at 2 horsepower when we could actually be moving at 100. The devil is very happy. And at that rate, at 2 horsepower that many Christians are moving at, the progress is slowed down to a crawl. Somebody prayed this morning that there would be movement in the congregation. And sometimes we're slowed down to a crawl because we're not exercising faith in that amazing, miracle-working God who can do anything for us. My God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God is able. And we crawl along because we are fearful. We crawl along because we think we can't. We crawl along because we think we haven't got the money and we're never going to have the money and we're never going to go anywhere. When in actual fact, if we look up to God and we put our trust in God, we can do amazing things for God. We can move, not at a crawl, but we can move at a great pace and a great speed. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Don't be afraid of this thing of money, because Jesus never was afraid to speak about money. He spoke to everybody about it. And we think we have to be ultra sensitive in speaking about money because we might upset somebody or we might offend somebody. If you're offended this morning, somebody once said you deserve to be offended. In a speech made in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. This country is wealthy. We have people wanting to come and settle here, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Well, I just pray for us this morning that none of us will be too proud to pray to the God who made us, to look to the God who made us, to recognize his wonderful, benevolent, and gracious hand in our lives, to recognize that all that we have has actually come from him, that he has blessed us tremendously, beyond all measure, in comparison to many other people on the face of the earth, and that the grace of God will liberate us, and that we will recognize that whatever God asks us to do in this church, that God is able to sustain. God is able to sustain Ian and Sarah this year. God is able to sustain our CAP Center this year. God is able to sustain our Make Lunch Project. God is able to sustain our salaries this year. Amen? God is able to sustain everything that we do as a church. God is able to sustain our outreach and our missionary giving and our giving to good causes. That's what the Bible says, and that's the word that I want to leave with you this morning, that the vision is God's, the provision is also of God, and that because God has brought you into this thing, in your home, in your family, God is able to sustain you. God will sustain you. He will not fail you. He will not deny you. He will not walk away from you, but God will sustain you, because underneath are the everlasting arms of your Father in heaven. Amen.